जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैता चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैता चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद We're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 13, text number 157 through 185. And I'll just read the translations to speed up a little bit. I wish to protect the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the attacks of my enemies. That is why I remain in my kingdom. Otherwise, I am indifferent to my royal position. Whatever wives, sons, and wealth I maintain in the kingdom are only for the satisfaction of the Yadus. Your loving qualities always attract me to Vrindavan. Indeed, they will bring me back within 10 or 20 days, and when I return, I shall enjoy both day and night with you and the damsels of Rajabhumi. While speaking to Srimati Radharani, Krishna became very anxious to return to Vrindavan. He made her listen to a verse which banished all her difficulties and which assured her that she would again attain Krishna. Lord Sri Krishna said, Devotional service unto me is the only way to attain me, my dear gopis. Whatever love and affection you have attained for me by good fortune is the only reason for my returning to you. Purport. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.82.45, text 161. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sit in his room with Sarup Damodar and taste the topics of these verses day and night. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced completely absorbed in ecstatic emotion. While looking at the face of Lord Jagannath, he danced and recited these verses. No one can describe the good fortune of Sarup Damodar Goswami, for he is always absorbed in the service of the Lord with his body, mind, and words. The senses of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were identical with the senses of Sarup. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to become fully absorbed in tasting the singing of Sarup Damodar. In emotional ecstasy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes sit on the ground and, looking down, would write on the ground with his finger. Feeling that the Lord would injure his finger by writing in this way, Sarup Damodar checked him with his own hand. Sarup Damodar used to sing exactly according to the ecstatic emotions of the Lord. Whenever a particular mellow was being tasted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarup Damodar would personify it by singing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked upon the beautiful lotus-like face and eyes of Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath was garlanded, dressed with nice garments, and adorned with beautiful ornaments. His face was glittering from the rays of sunshine, and the entire atmosphere was fragrant. An ocean of transcendental bliss expanded in the heart of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the symptoms of madness immediately intensified like a hurricane. The madness of transcendental bliss created waves of various emotions. The emotions appeared like opposing soldiers staging a fight. There was an increase in all the natural emotional symptoms. Thus, there were awakening emotions, peacefulness, joined, mixed, transcendental and prevalent emotions, and impetus for emotion. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body appeared like a transcendental Himalayan mountain bearing ecstatic emotional flower trees, all of them blooming. Upon seeing these symptoms, everyone's mind and consciousness were attracted. Indeed, The Lord sprinkled everyone's mind with the nectar of transcendental love of Godhead. He sprinkled the minds of the servants of Lord Jagannath, the government officers, the pilgrim visitors, the general populace, and all the residents of Jagannath Puri. After seeing the dancing and ecstatic love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone became astonished. In their hearts, they became infatuated with love of Krishna. Everyone danced and chanted in ecstatic love, and a great noise resounded. Everyone was overwhelmed with transcendental bliss just to see the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Apart from the others, even Lord Jagannath and Lord Balaram, with great happiness, began to move very slowly upon seeing the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Jagannath and Lord Balaram sometimes stopped the car and happily observed Lord Chaitanya's dancing. Anyone who was able to see them stop and watch the dancing bore witness to their pastimes. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing and wandering in this way, he fell down in front of Maharaj Prataparudra. Maharaj Prataparudra picked the Lord up with great respect, but upon seeing the king, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to his external consciousness. After seeing the king, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu condemned himself, saying, "Oh, how pitiful it is that I have touched a person who is interested in mundane affairs." Not even Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Kashishwara or Govinda took care of Lord Chaitanya when he fell down. Nityananda was in great ecstasy and Kashishwara and Govinda were elsewhere. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already been satisfied by the king's behavior, for the king had accepted the service of a sweeper for Lord Jagannath. Therefore, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually desired to see the king. In the last text 185. However, just to warn his personal associates, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, externally expressed feelings of anger. Purport. When Maharaj Prataparudra asked to see the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately refused, saying, "Niskinchanasya Bhagavad Bhajano Mukhasya Paramparam Jigamiso Bhavasagarasya Sandarshinam Vishayinam Atayoshitam Cha Ha Hanta Hanta Vishabhakshanato Pesadhu." Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 11.8. The word Niskinchanasya refers to a person who has finished his material activities. Such a person can begin to execute his activities in Krishna consciousness to cross over the ocean of nations. It is very dangerous for such a person to have intimate relationships with mundane people or to become intimately related with women. This formality is to be observed by anyone who is serious about going back home, back to Godhead. To teach his personal associates these principles, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed external anger when touched by the king. Since the Lord was very satisfied with the humble behavior of the king, he intentionally allowed the king to touch him, but externally he expressed anger just to warn his personal associates. Om Ajana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamai Yang Dadati Swapadantikam Pancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyai Vacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Niskinchanasya Bhagavad Bhajanon Mukhasya Paramparam Jigamiso Bhavasangarasya. That those people who have ended or who have desired to end their material life and go to Paramparam, the highest, like the great beyond, as they say, you know, Jigamiso Bhavasagarasya, leaving this Bhavasagar, this ocean of material desires, for those people, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that Sandarshinam Vishayinam Atayoshitam Cha, that they should beware, they should be very careful about association of those people who have materialistic desires, especially one who is attached to associating with women. So from our Saffron's point of view is like, okay, you know. But it's also deeper for everybody that this Yoshi Sangita means not giving up this Ishvara Bhava, this identity of I am the supreme controller, I am the Lord, Ishvaro Hambogi, I'm the enjoyer. And so the more we keep to this conception of life, then we cannot go to the great beyond. We cannot cross over this ocean of material existence. We cannot. And so therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, ha hanta hanta, how horrible, that you have come to the spiritual platform, you have come to try to understand this spiritual life, but you're still holding on to this idea that I am the controller, I am in control of my own destiny. So in this way, woman refers to whatever you may be attached to. As a brahmachari, you're a saffron, you know, how dark it is, or how pink it is, or how whatever it is. You know, as a grihastha, maybe your wife, your children, your computer, you know, whatever these things are, your danda, you know, all these different things, we can become attached to them. So therefore we have to hear constantly that I am the servant of the servant of the servant. And Mahaprabhu didn't say servant of the servant of the servant just because, you know, Krishna Das Kaviraj couldn't fill in any other words in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he said, okay, dasa, 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 that fills it in. No, but it's in there so that we, Srila Prabhupada drives it in again and again and again, that we understand ourselves as servants of Guru and Gauranga. We have to understand that. If we do not understand that principle, then the Vedic knowledge does not become revealed to us. What is that verse? Yasya deve para bhakti, tata deve yata guru, tasya ite katita hyata, prakashante mahatmana. Only those great souls who have immense faith in the words of the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master are the purpose of the Vedas revealed. But we live in an ocean of material existence. So we're constantly bombarded every single day. Here's this, here's that, here's this, here's that. You know, all for the senses. So how can we then rise above? How can we understand this param param jigamiso? How can we go above to the great beyond? It's by the association of sadhus. It's by the association of especially sadhus who are more advanced within our own society. In the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, there is this one verse, that yasya yat sangati pungso mani vatsya sat sataguna, that association is like a crystal. Whoever you associate with, you begin to reflect their qualities, their way of doing things, their views on life, etc., etc. You begin to reflect these different things. Yasya yat sangati pungso mani vatsya sat sataguna. Sakular de tato diman, for the benefit of one's kula, for the benefit of one's society, sayutani eva shamshoyat. You have to take shelter of those people in that society who are more advanced. This is how we can actually stick to this process of hearing and chanting constantly, constantly, and try to cross over, and try to understand the fact that we are servants of the servants. This is how we can do that. Or else we stay in the material world. And Srila Prabhupada has a great mission for us as far as servants of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And when I was growing up in the ashram, something I really, really enjoyed reading was the preface to Srimad Bhagavatam, especially this paragraph. Human society at the present moment is not in the darkness of oblivion. It has made rapid progress in the field of material comforts, education, and economic development throughout the entire world. But there is a pinprick somewhere in the social body at large, and therefore there are large-scale quarrels even over less important issues. There is a need of a clue as to how humanity can become one in peace, friendship, and prosperity with a common cause. Srimad Bhagavatam will fill this need, for it is a cultural presentation for the re-spiritualization of the entire human society. So every one of us have that burden, have that duty upon ourselves to represent this little paragraph. represent a cultural presentation for the re-spiritualization of human society. We have to represent people who live in peace, friendship, and prosperity with a common cause. What is that common cause? Serving the mission of the spiritual master. There's no other common cause we have. If we cannot serve Srila Prabhupada's mission, his order, we are useless. We are asara, as Srila Prabhupada already has quoted somewhere else in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. If we cannot serve his mission, we're useless. We have no business being here. You know? So if we're here, we should try to serve his mission or serve those who are serving his mission. And for those who have been touched by Srila Prabhupada, your duty now is that you have been given this culture of knowledge. You give it to the second generation. Our duty will be to imbibe it, give it to the next generation. I was with His Holiness Niranjana Swami in Chapati a few years ago. And he gave a really amazing talk. And so I asked him after the talk, Maharaj, how was it that you all were able to fearlessly go to places like Russia or Japan or all these practically communist countries and share Krishna consciousness, you know? And it was really amazing. He gave me 5 words. Because Srila Prabhupada wanted it. That was his explanation. And then later on he said, we love Srila Prabhupada so much. He loved us so much. And we would do anything for him. We love Srila Prabhupada so much. And he loved us so much. We would do anything for him. We should meditate on that. That it's not just the instruction we have to follow. But it's the love, it's the affection we have to give to each other in order to follow this. Therefore, Rupa Goswami gives us the nectar of instruction. How to associate with each other in loving exchanges. Because without that love, this philosophy does not go anywhere. It doesn't go anywhere. Without applying that culture, coming from nectar of instruction, it doesn't go anywhere. We can wear nice saris, we can wear nice tilak, nice dhoti, but that's just an external feature. This knowledge doesn't go anywhere unless from within your heart you give that love to somebody else. That means tolerance. We were all youth before. You know, it's not that being a young person is the, you know, most humble or most fun platform. You know, between 14 and 25 or maybe 30. You know, now I'm 31, I'm trying to divide and conquer myself, you know. So between these ages, we know everything. You know, we know everything. You can't tell us anything. We can't listen. We want to party all the time. But this is right from Bhagavatam. Kapila Dev explains that. The kid doesn't want to go to school, he has to. You know, he doesn't want to do this, he has to. What does he want to do all day? Play. So how do you then get such a person and try to give them pure knowledge and try to help them follow this knowledge? How do you solve a problem like Maria? How do you really? You know. But Srila Prabhupada explains that just how you see different fruits and nuts coming to their fructifying stage, it takes a lot of time. It takes time, it takes patience. And so therefore, for a young person, like taming a tiger or taming a wild animal, it takes a lot of time. But when that time passes and that animal is tamed, he becomes a dancing puppet. Make me dance as you wish. So we see that devotees, we have to give that love to each other. We have to give that trust to the younger generation and they see this person is becoming Krishna conscious. Our movement is not the International Society for Management Consciousness. It's not the International Society for anything else but Krishna consciousness. And if we see somebody is becoming Krishna conscious, we follow them. You know, Ayendra Peru is a perfect example of that. And most of my friends I know who are just complete space cases. Whenever I saw them in Vrindavan, they were completely different people. Why? Because, hey, we live in Ayendra Prabhu's ashram, we have to do like this, 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 and this. But they saw this person was dedicated to the propagation of the holy name. That's Srila Prabhupada's legacy. He wants to see how his disciples are becoming Krishna conscious beings. That's the only way we can save human society, really. That's the only way we can give this cultural presentation for the re-spiritualization of human society. Is by becoming ourselves Krishna conscious and helping to make other people Krishna conscious. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Are there some questions or comments or chastisements? Yes, approval, approval. Here's a microphone. Come here.
Thank you. That was wonderful. I wondered if you could say a little bit more, because I can really relate to your point about how the younger generation spend time with Andhra Prabhu and transform their lives. So maybe you could say a little bit more about how that transformation took place in Vrindavan and what we can learn from the life of Andhra Prabhu.
First, by dedicating yourself to the mission of the spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada's mission is vast. It's quite amazing. You know, as somebody said, he built a house in which the whole world can live in. So for Andhra Prabhu, that was just chanting, chanting, chanting. If somebody else is a businessman, he can perfect his business as well as being a perfect Krishna conscious entity. You know, there's a Gurukuli out there who wants to learn business. I know a few of them. There's another one who wants to be a doctor, somebody else who wants to be a real estate agent, somebody else who's an architect. You know, so many different aspects in life there are that people are aspire to. You know, and there's so many devotees who became disciples of Srila Prabhupada who have those qualities within themselves. So if you become perfectly Krishna conscious, then you can inspire another young person. Really, that's the only way I see how Andhra Prabhu himself inspired people, is by becoming Krishna conscious. You know, but this satam prasanga, by always doing it in great association, mama virya samvido, learning about Krishna, enlightening one another about Krishna. I was just in Govardhan last year with Vaisheshika Prabhu, and it was basically about 5-6 hours a day of hearing and chanting Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna book, Bhagavad Gita. You know, that does something to somebody. You know, it does. Thank you, Vaisheshika Prabhu. Yes, Archita Prabhu? He did, yes. He did. But at the same time, we're the ones who are kind of coming after to carry the movement. So that's definitely true. And there are many more devotees that can be glorified, not just Andhra Prabhu.
Yes. So just for the record, and the enjoying spirit doesn't stop at 30.
Pardon?
Just for the record, the enjoying spirit trying to play.
Oh no, I said I'm just
stop at 30.
I'm just beginning to decide about what to divide and conquer. So the enjoying spirit just begun. Before it was kind of like, all right, you know, hang out, space out. But now it's like, okay, I need something to hold and enjoy. You know? So it begins at 30, I guess. Or my mother says life begins at 40. So I'm making plans till I get to 40, then I'll start enjoying and, you know. So something else? Mahamohini Mataji? Anthony. That is Bhakta Anthony. He comes from Halifax in our little humble ashram there. He's visiting for Ratna Yatra.
So you were saying perfecting your business or your material isn't the right word, but life in that way is a way to become Krishna conscious. Is there a strategy to keep that in your mind, always keep Krishna in your mind, even if you're in real estate or, you know, a business consultant or whatever?
That subject matter touches Anthony because he's a business consultant. He has a degree in business management. Yes, by doing your work and at the same time taking shelter of devotees, taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada's books, making time for it. Because that's your most important work. By chanting your 16 rounds every day, by following these principles, Srila Prabhupada really already gave us what to do. You know, association of devotees, reading the books, you know, learning more about Krishna. Because if we don't learn more about Krishna, how will we become interested in Krishna? So that's the formula, is learn more about Krishna, associate with those who want to learn more about Krishna. You know, it's like a crystal, it affects you. You know, very, very important. Yes, Prabhu.
You're talking about the enjoying spirit, and
So we're supposed to give that up?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Mahaprabhu's movement actually has the best enjoying spirit.
Because I was thinking that the chant and be happy by sacrifice, the sacrifice for the sages, the chanting, and it seems like the Paramdrishta Navardhante, that enjoying spirit, we were trying to find some happiness in the desert here, the material world, but now the real enjoying spirit.
The real enjoyment just started. In Portland, Oregon, we had a little ashram there. And the football team, some members of the football team from Portland State University would come to our ashram all the time, sometimes spend the night. And so at one point, this kid, Chris, he said, "Man, Jaikesh, the Hare Krishna movement, you guys really have the best things, you know. You have the best food, the best philosophy, man, the best music. And I know you're a monk and everything, but you have the best women too." So you saw, we do have the enjoyments here. But at the same time, that surrender is also there. And if you want to truly enjoy this, you have to be willing to give up that. You know? You have to be willing to give up that. Vijay Prabhu was telling us the other day, he was walking with Jai Dwaita Maharaj, and some cops stopped them. So what do you have to do to, you know, be a part of this Hare Krishna movement? And Maharaj said to him, "You have to give up suffering." You know? So that's what we have to do. It's the reason we aren't really, really taking to this Krishna consciousness. We haven't given up suffering. And until we do, we will suffer more and more and more. You know? So let's try to encourage each other, you know. Let's learn from the old, take it to the new. You know. There's not much time. At any time Krishna can just pull the plug. "Okay, come back here." You know, we've seen it over and over and over. So whatever skill you have as disciples of Srila Prabhupada, please, I beg you, give it to some other person. Give it to a younger generation devotee. You know, that's how we carry on the movement. Even in business, if you don't teach people what your business principles are, it's hard to carry on that business. Archita Prabhu?
They want everything on a silver platter. We didn't get it like that. See, whatever positions we have in ISKCON, the older generation, we were sleeping on the floor like sardines up here for years. Yes. We couldn't even move. I used to get up extra early just to get away from that, be in the bathroom first. But nowadays, when they invite somebody, like, let's say, to the BBT to take over a service there, they want so many $1,000 a month, they want this, they want that, they want that, and then when it's all laid out, maybe I'll take it. It doesn't work like that.
I have
if you want something really, really good, you have to be willing to sacrifice to
it. Yes. I have a proposal. For those older generation people who would like to see the younger devotees perform that type of austerity, my plan, my biggest plan in life is to get a bunch of buses together and travel and do kirtan and distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. So if you'd like to sponsor a few buses for us, we will do it. I know about 15 devotees who want to do that. Manu is doing it. We will do it. We will start it over and over and over. Whoever would like to help out, please do it. We will sleep on the floor, we'll sleep in the grass, we'll sleep wherever we need to sleep to help carry on this movement. I promise you that. You know, now I travel in a little wagon, like a small station wagon, with like two or three boxes, and it's so much fun. But that sacrifice must be performed. You're correct. We have to give up that enjoying spirit, at least, you know. But then, to speak from our perspective, you know, most guru coolies, as Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj would say, they're demigods. And what are demigods known for? Huge sense gratification, huge enjoyment. So, you have to at least compensate there a little bit. Okay. All right. Anything else? Thank you very much. Oh, there is something here. Yes. In my 14 to 25. Well, let's go from 16 to 25 because. 11 to 14, I was in Liberia, and there was a huge civil war there. So I experienced all of that, and then came to the U.S. at 15. Finished high school, and then I had a big fight with my father that I wanted to be a monk since I was 6, and you've hampered that, so I'm going now. So I ran away to Seattle, and Preeti Prabhu caught me. And so from 17 to about 21, I lived in the ashram. And then went a little bit astray, went to college, became a crazy model and all that stuff. And then again, in 2006, I really prayed to Srila Prabhupada, I would like to be of use to your movement. And by the guidance of His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami, he said, put saffron on and go preach. So I think I'm navigating by their guidance, really. I'm not navigating anything. It's more by the guidance of the senior devotees.
Prabhupada disciples are getting older, so we're thinking, when is we going to pass the baton so some second generation can be managers? And so your response was, buy us some buses and we'll go out and chant. Well, we'd all like to go and travel and chant.
Come with
be
us.
Ecstatic. But that's, you know, Prabhupada did establish some temples so other people could come to it.
Yeah.
And there's, so if I haven't seen, you know, maybe there was some second generation that are starting to take over temples. I don't know. But some years ago there was a reunion. Hundreds and hundreds of second generation came to Alachua. And they had a very nice dinner for the Prabhupada disciples. Mm. And they handed out little cards with a little box for you to check off on what you would like to do to assist us. And then there was a box for other. So I put down that I would be willing to train anybody for large quantity cooking. I didn't get one call.
Wow.
So, and then, of course, even if somebody did call, then you have to be able to chant 16 rounds and follow the principles
exactly.
to be able to cook for the deities.
Exactly.
So
it definitely takes some inspiration. And I will say this as my last comment, not to, please forgive me for this comment, that in college I was friends with the son of the owner of Budweiser. And he took me to one of their factories. You know, just, this is where we make the beer, this is where this happened, this is where this happens. And so we went to the conveyor belt where the bottles go from there and then into the box and then shipped off. And so, as I was watching it, I had this realization that he said that if one bottle sticks up front and is not moving, there's still more bottles coming, and what's in the middle just falls out. I see this practically in our movement, that some of our leaders are sitting in their positions, sitting, and they're not leaving. We're still having children. And most people my generation are dropping out of the picture. They're going to get their jobs, going to live their lives. So we do need to see that inspiration, most importantly, of our leaders becoming God conscious. That's what we need, is God conscious teachers. And if we see that, then I think the flow will really start nicely again. That's in my humble opinion. Okay? Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki.